1-900 Wrestling is brought to you by patreon.com/1900Wrestling.
I want you to call me for all of wrestling's latest news and views. I've been around in wrestling for 35 years, and nobody knows wrestling like me. Remember the number
1-900 Wrestling!
Stupid idiots.
They call me Hara!
What The Rock is cooking.
And his name is John Cena.
Well, look at this prima donna.
Thank God Donald Trump's all heavy yet.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to yet another edition of 1-900 Wrestling, where the first minute is free and every subsequent minute is probably... it should be free, because we're just going to talk about whatever the hot hell we want. But we love doing it. Joining me, as always, is my co-host, Willie Dills Gregory. Welcome, Willie.
What's up, man? It's good to be here. It's good to talk about wrestling. I missed you. We had a bit of a week off here because of the holidays. So
yeah, everything gets a little weird. I was not in the Bay Area. You were in the Bay Area. We still wound up missing each other after we were both in the same place because you had family obligations, but now we are back, and boy, does it feel good, because we had to recap what I think fairly objectively, and I'm even seeing from the jaded, cold, coal-hearted corners of wrestling internet, was a very positive year for the greatest American art form, right?
I'm right with you, man. I think the meme of screw 2016 sucks has been going strong here as we come to a close on the end of the year. But one thing that I think you cannot say about 2016 is that 2016's year of wrestling sucked. It was the best year of wrestling I think I've ever seen in my, I've been watching since I was a kid, had a bit of a hiatus, and the last 5 years I've been watching or so religiously. This year was by far the best. This was an amazing year. And I think we're ramping up 2017. Like, as good as this was, 2017 yeah. is set, primed. The pump is primed to be even greater, which is incredible.
No, absolutely. There is a lot to love. And you want to know what? Let's just get started with something. And we're going to do these for as many as we can find. If we can make this a weekly thing, I want to make it a weekly thing. This is a new segment. Maybe we should work on imaging or something for it. It's just Kevin Owens yells at people. We featured it here on the show in a more dubious way. Mm-hmm.
Kevin Owens yells at children was the first segment. Yeah,
he was yelling at children this time. And here, let me set this up, because I was reading on Squared Circle, and somebody was talking about a little review that they had of the Raw house show in Brooklyn. And they ran everything down. It was all great. It was awesome. And then in the main event, which was Roman Reigns versus Kevin Owens, they made a point to say there was this one really weird point where Kevin Owens went into a rest hold, and it just kind of, the crowd died because he was just lying there on Roman Reigns for what the initial scribe described as 3 minutes. Five posts later, I see this clip, which I am assuming is the exact same rest hold that confounded the first guy, who I assume had worse seats, because it's very clear what Kevin Owens is doing if you listen. Here, I got to jack the audio, so let me get through this clip here. Right. This is Kevin Owens in a rest hold with Roman Reigns down on the mat, and he is making full eye contact with somebody in the front, and he is just yelling the following.
You're a fake match! You fell it!
All year! So I got 35K just in royalties. And then like 11 or 12 for you. How much is it? You brought it to me. $7,000.
So the best things about that clip, number one, is that it's Kevin Owens line-iteming his taxes on exactly what he has made so far this year. He is continuing
in royalties. Like, this is just royalties, right? So
yeah, just in royalties. 35K in royalties.
Man's right? Doing well. Got to give him credit.
He is having a conversation. He's inviting a response from the other person, asking him how much he makes in a year. But really, you got to see this video, and we'll link it, because Roman Reigns cannot stop laughing.
Roman Reigns literally has to, in the middle, corpsing, as it's known in the business, literally has to cover his own face in the middle of a rest hold. And it's, you can just see on his face, he's listening, he's kind of trying to play it off. And at a certain point he goes, I give up. Like, I'm just, okay, time to cover the face and just start cracking up. It is hilarious. I can't believe the ref was able to kind of maintain ref duties here.
Just full Jimmy Fallon on SNL. He's just breaking up, can't stop laughing. These are always just great. So, all right, there we go. Kevin Owens yelling at people. Send those in. JustinRobertYoung@gmail.com. Put 1-900-WRESTLING in the subject line if you find any of these. Otherwise, we will continue to do our best to scour the internet to find Kevin Owens yelling at the plebs.
He's making the rest hold great again, is what he's doing, Justin. And thank God, you know. It's one of the most used and underutilized moves in wrestling is the rest hold.
Indeed,
you can find ways to make it good,
and he certainly has. I've told the story before, but I don't think I've ever told it on this show. I went to an NXT show with your Angry Chicken co-host Garrett of Weinzerl, and the main event, a surprise main event, was Kevin Owens and Tyler Breeze versus, I believe it was Finn Balor and Billy Gunn, when Billy Gunn was still a trainer. It was like a big surprise, right?
Okay.
So next thing you know, Kevin Owens is out there on the apron, and I'm sitting. I got pretty good seats, because it's especially for those NXT events, those like little Florida ones. It's not expensive to get front row seats.
Sure.
I yell, you can't handle that ass, because he's Mr. Ass.
Mr. Ass, yeah, right? Absolutely.
Kevin Owens turns around and looks at me and just says, that makes you sound terrible, by the way. Which, sure, he steamrolled the fact that I thought I was making a clever pun, but everybody laughed. I was the idiot. He's the best. Kevin Owens yells at people. Yes, even your humble host.
It doesn't feel scripted with Kevin Owens out there. He's reacting. He is in the moment. He is there hanging with the crowd. And like the guy, like even when he messes up a promo,
yeah,
he rolls with it in such a way where it's like, this is what I want. This is what I want from her. I want to watch a guy who's out there and everything is organic, even if it's not technically, right?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
So here's what we're going to do. Performer. We're going to go through our best of 2016. We have a brand new way to end each episode that I feel like is going to take the wrestling world by storm. but first, let's get into some of the news here. And the big news is, between Raw and SmackDown, SmackDown basically loaded their show like a pay-per-view, only had three matches. They were all championship. One title changed hands, that is American Alpha, now getting the straps over the Wyatt family. But the news, the headline, is SmackDown beat Raw in the ratings. For this week only, they are the A show. Does this mean anything, A, to the internet fan community, which has a tendency to think that SmackDown is a better show, or is this just, you had John Cena return. It was all you basically gave away a pay-per-view. You should be able to pop a rating.
I mean, it definitely validates, I think, what a lot of people are saying on R Squared Circle, which is that, they think SmackDown is the A show. But again, I think you're absolutely correct. Like, this was not just SmackDown. This wasn't a normal SmackDown. You're not going to see this next Tuesday, right? Next Tuesday is not going to have three title matches. It's not going to have the return of John Cena. It's not going to have a triple threat with Baron Corbin kind of making his presence felt in the title scene. A huge moment for American Alpha, grabbing the straps. It's not going to have that. That being said, it definitely has a potential, I think, now to every single week at least come close or almost match Raw after what we saw here. Because if you watched it, and apparently a lot of people who don't normally watch it did watch it.
Yeah.
How can you not then watch it next week, right?
Well, and Cena has a lot to do with that, though, right?
Of course. Like, obviously. I mean, he's the champ is here. He was back. And he made his presence. It was kind of a cool. I liked this promo from him because he basically acknowledged to the people what kind of gets him booed in the first place.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, I'm a part-timer now, but yeah. I'm getting a title shot because I'm John Cena.
I'm John Cena. What? Deal with it. And he's in such a good place now because he's had so many amazing matches with AJ Styles that now that you know, hey, we, in my mind, rotate John Cena and Dean Ambrose versus AJ Styles on and off every 2 months forever.
Sure.
Fine. I'm great. I'm great with that. Here's the one thing I will mention. It's not that SmackDown didn't give away a pay-per-view. It is interesting to me, and this, I think, is indicative of the differences in the storytelling between the two shows. I'll bet you if you go back on Raw, especially pre-brand split, and pick out how many times they defended a title, defended three titles in one episode on Raw, you could probably find a lot of them. That's not all that rare. What sure. is rare is that they're treated like, oh my God, these people have been feuding. I wonder what's going to happen. Let's see how it works out. They were given time.
Well, you felt suspense. Like you could actually see the title change, which I think is the rare thing to see on the Raws and the SmackDowns, right?
Yeah.
Like you see the title matches often, and you see a title match when you just go to they oftentimes will have some sort of title match at just about every show.
Yeah.
If you go live, sometimes it'll be a dark match and doesn't matter. They've even dropped belts in dark matches and then, you know, dropped it again. And then by the time they come back to TV, it's as if nothing happened, right?
Sure. Like
that happens. But we saw, when we went to Raw, we saw a title match. It was Neville and Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
And of course, that was kind of a let's excite the crowd, but we're not actually going to. Do a change here, but the fact is they set us all up.
Yeah.
After doing the first one, which is the tag team one, where they did change the title holders. So the whole rest of the time, I was like on edge, like, okay, anybody can win this thing, you know.
Now, let me ask you this, because there's been a lot of bitching and kvetching about how many pay per views there are, right?
Sure.
And I don't necessarily think that it's invalid criticism, but what would you prefer? Us to have brand-centric pay-per-views every month, or once a month, you do a show like this, where you do basically a pay-per-view on television. Now, here's the caveat: understand sure. that if you take away those pay-per-views, you are devaluing your payment to the WWE network because you are getting less of those matches.
So I really like the double pay-per-view thing that's going on right now, and I definitely don't want it to go away. But I think it is important at least sometimes. And I say this too about, say, like, your finishing move doesn't always have to win a match, right? Because what I want as a wrestling fan is I want to watch a show, whether it be a pay-per-view or not, where I'm not 100% sure what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So I definitely don't like the whole thing of, we shouldn't have title matches where the belt changes hands. We shouldn't have big matches on your standard television shows and not pay-per-views because it devalues these big matches. I'm more of the mind that every now and then you should throw a wrench in the works.
Yeah.
And get people to keep coming back for Raw and SmackDown because that is how you build your pay-per-views, right? You need people to want to watch those shows. So I would prefer, honestly, to just have every now and then something crazy goes down, titles change, things happen, and you always are feeling like I can't miss these. I cannot miss these because something may happen.
I mean, here's the reason why it'll never happen is because literally the way that WWE keeps the lights on now is merchandising, live receipts, and the network.
And the network.
If at any moment you don't have the network and are tempted to get it because there is a match that you want to see on a pay-per-view, they want you to subscribe to the network and not Hulu. That is what they want you to do. That's how their business model works now.
No, it's absolutely true. The rut that I don't want to get into, and I think they've done a fairly decent job, although sometimes you notice it happening, is I don't want to see three matches between people that are basically the same match, and then for the pay-per-view, there's like an extra 5 minutes or whatever tacked on, yeah, or something different happens. Because then you definitely lose interest. You know, it's to keep interest in a feud going, you know, the best thing that you can do is every match has something happening that adds to the storyline, moves it in a different direction, somehow keeps it feeling fresh. And when you see the same match three different times, I even lose interest by the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
So, you know, that they've been doing a much better job of that, I think, where it's not okay. Then they have the match, and then on Raw, they have the rematch. And, yeah, like, that's then just kind of the script that we're all used to. Deviate from the script, and they've been doing a much better job of that,
for sure.
And here's
the other thing that I love that SmackDown did this week is, like, they are so good at the little weird BS that then can turn the feud. They did it with Ellsworth, and they're doing it right now with this whole La Luchadora thing.
By the way, so I watched it. But I'm curious, did I miss something? They didn't reveal who this La Luchadora was, right?
No.
Now, so we still don't know who this was.
There's some rumors. There's some rumors on who it is. Apparently, somebody took their physicals this week and might be joining the company.
So you say Mickey James? Is that what you're saying?
Maybe.
Could be Mickey James. you hear about this Mickey James?
Yeah. No, so that's the rumor. The rumor is that was not her under the hood this time.
Yeah, yeah, but somebody with a similar body type and cadence in the ring, and then, surprise, it's Mickey James.
Yeah.
Decent way to introduce her. By the way, I love how bad that costume looks, by the way.
It looks great. And by the way, on Talking Smack, a little flourish that wasn't really caught by the camera – Dean Ambrose walked onto the set and took off the La Luchadora mask and put it on the table. Just didn't say anything about it, just took off the mask, and that was it.
Nice.
Yeah, apparently, yeah, the person in the mask was Deonna Purrazzo, but the rumors are that Mickie James, based on how well she did at NXT Toronto, now back on the road. And listen, you know, they're going to have, SmackDown's going to have three distinct female plot lines. Four if you count Carmella and Ellsworth.
Are you counting Miz's feud with Renee Young?
And I'm not even counting that because she can't
fight. There you go, five.
Because she doesn't fight, right? But it's like, sure, Nikki and Natalya. You've got the title and whoever comes into the picture with Alexa Bliss.
Sure.
And then you have Becky and whoever is La Luchadora. Let's assume it's Mickie James. That's crazy. That's amazing.
That
it shows you how far they have come. And by the way, how much they've done with less, because I think that we're going to get into our superlatives right now. I don't see Alexa Bliss's name on here, but if we're just going to go honorable mention, Alexa Bliss, huge step forward. This was the year
absolutely,
that Becky Lynch really cemented herself. And really, everybody there, all that women's division on SmackDown, less boldface names. More, I think, just good hard work, man. They're doing good storytelling down there.
No, absolutely. It's getting to the point now where we may have it that Hell in the Cell wasn't just a one-off, oh, isn't this neat that the women are the main event. These are going to be feuds I care about.
Yeah.
And are going to feel main event worthy, not just, hey, let's have that happen so it happened. Which, you know, that did to a certain extent feel that way with the Hell in a Cell, just because it was, oh, isn't this neat that it's happening? They really kind of hyped up that. This is going to start to feel like this is the feud I care about the most. This is the match I'm here to see.
Yeah.
Right. And it's really cool. And with only 2 hours of time, the fact that they can build up that much in the women's division is it's awesome. It's great. And I am no longer, Justin.
Yeah.
I don't want to feel like a sexist dickhead.
Okay.
I am no longer fast-forwarding women's matches.
Oh!
And I did used to do that, but even in Trump's America, I am no longer fast-forwarding those matches. So they're doing something right, man.
Absolutely. All right, well, here, let's get into our superlatives. I think one of them already leaked out. We're going to start off the 1-900 Wrestling Superlative Checklist for 2016. Best new theme song, Dills, I have yours queued up, so let's go ahead and take a listen. Bobby Roode's glorious domination, not only, I think, an epic theme song in general, but also its own meme. If we're going to go for meme Gene Okerlund, that was its own meme with Tommaso and Ciampa. I mean, what else can be said about the Bobby Roode theme song that hasn't already been said?
By the way, meme Gene is the best thing that's come out of this episode right now.
I stole that from the chat room.
So I saw it in the chat room as well, and I was like, that is so good. Listen here, meme Gene. We got to get like a drop whenever a new meme comes. With a listen here, meme Gene. But yeah, no, it's the glorious bombs, obviously, were amazing. Anybody who is familiar with my Twitch channel knows my love for the Bobby Roode theme song. It is, of course, the song that plays when I get new subs.
Yeah.
I have a glorious emote. You can actually, if you are a sub of mine, you can put the entire word glorious into my channel at a moment's notice. And I just went ahead and did that. It's the best. I mean, it's fantastic. I love Queen. They've already basically acknowledged the fact that this is kind of, you know, that's the inspiration. It's a huge anthem.
You know, it's rock Queen song, and then a little bit
Queen,
of a
right?
It's Queen and then you know, who else? The other band, like the art rock band. The one that does the We Will Be Victorious song.
Oh, Muse.
Muse.
Yes.
Yeah, a little musey, yeah. Right?
Is very musy, but Muse is kind of like they've said the Queen is their their Muse, right? So, but it's just so good, and the words are, it's so funny because the words are very much the words that a face may have, right?
Yeah,
I mean, he will not give in, he will be victorious. You know, he will essentially, this is like Hulk Hogan's theme song, you know, a real American fight for the rights of every man type of feel when you listen to the lyrics. But Bobby Roode's like, just, I am glorious as he comes out is incredible. His entrance, the character they built for him fits the song. It's almost like they had the song first and they were like, who can we give this to? And then Roode was like the right man at the right time with
the right song. He apparently didn't want it. Didn't like
really?
The song. Did not like the song. Had another song that he did like. And Triple H had to like sit him down and say, no, dude. This is your thing.
This is going to change everything for you. And it I cannot wait to see, you know, his like Raw or SmackDown debut after like what the bar they set.
Yeah.
In NXT. I cannot wait though to see it with, you know, with where a match is about to be set up with him and someone like an AJ Styles or something like that. Like,
well,
or a Seth Rollins or something.
That
right.
That really is something that happened in 2016 is the full power of the NXT star-making factory kind of became clear, right? Because if you look at who's there now, I mean, they're all products of NXT. I mean, or you want to see the products of NXT do well or do better, even the ones that are kind of forgotten. You want more of them. And by the way, this is a year that NXT restocked because I think that they are in a very, very good place now. I watched that show. And there is a lot of really good stuff that happens on NXT these days.
Yeah, that was my concern with NXT, right? Was so many guys are moving up. And right now we call it moving up.
Yeah.
But I think pretty soon it's a lateral motion, right? It's going to get to that point where no longer
are we thinking of this as
the big leagues, you know?
I mean, everyone's like, oh my God, why haven't they brought up Samoa Joe? Why haven't they brought up Shinsuke Nakamura? Because they have stadiums to sell out. You know, because they're a touring brand, you got to get, you know, like Jim Ross says, an ass every 18 inches, I'm a happy man. Here we go. This is my best new theme song. All right, kind of a joke.
I was gonna say, so you're a big Soundgarden fan, then I take it.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, it's kind of a joke, but I'm buying low. I'm buying low on this theme because I believe that Gallows and Anderson are going to have a much bigger 2017 than they had a 2016. I think they very unfortunately kind of came into a very complicated. They were done no favors by the brand split, number one, because them with AJ was the pairing, right?
Sure.
And for whatever reason, they needed to kind of keep the New Day on this trajectory, and so that kind of stunted a little bit of the storytelling there. Around SummerSlam would have been the time to give them the titles. I think that there is nothing but blue sky for the club in 2017.
Dude, you can see them coming out of their shell even more, though. The latest, when they entered, which essentially was like, okay, we're about to have an eight on eight tag team, whatever, right? Yeah. Which is just kind of happens on Raw and SmackDown sometimes. But their entrance was just the best of the entire crew. So I don't know. I'm already kind of seeing it happen, where they're going from we're the joking guys to we're highly entertaining and a force to be reckoned with. And yeah, I'm super excited. And I'm very excited for the inevitable club versus somebody at some point. Because you know that is like AJ is right now in the midst of an incredible run.
Yeah.
But at some point that will, you know, come
that's
to an
a
end
year.
And it'll
that's
be
that's a year. A year yeah. that they can get out of club versus any of the nine other three-man teams that they have in the WWE right now. I mean, listen, yeah. the club versus the three-man band. You never know. Where's Drew Galloway? All right. Best comeback this year. Dills, who you got?
So I'm going to go with one that is, I think, fairly obvious. This is on the nose, but it was just the one that mattered the most to me, and it's Bill Goldberg. Bill Goldberg's comeback. First of all, I didn't see coming this year. I very much thought that was never going to happen.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's old, and I don't know how good of a shape he was in. And I know when he left, he wasn't happy with the product and the direction the product was taking. He's a very much a family man, as we all know. he will not let us forget how much of a family man he is. But, dude, his comeback, it was like goosebumps when I knew he was coming back. It was awesome when I knew who was going to fight. Obviously, the fight felt huge. We got a result we didn't see coming. Yeah. All of it was just phenomenal. And I'm excited to see, you know, how things go. We're going to see him at WrestleMania.
Oh, my God.
Which I cannot wait to chant Goldberg live and watch him come out. Like, I just can't wait. So everything about it has been fantastic. I'm going with the obvious choice. It's Goldberg for me.
Dude, when we're in, or if we can get hashtag Dills to Mania based on the Patreon, which by the way, we didn't mention again, this is what we're doing.
Let's mention it all the time.
Patreon.com/1900wrestling. That is how we are going to pay for Willie's ticket to WrestleMania. We have four seats. You will be there along with us in any social media form we can possibly figure out. So we could be there. We could be in Orlando having a nice bagel and lox preparing for the Goldberg match. The great fist of Jewish revenge.
I am prepared even like we, you know, the legitimate road to WrestleMania. I'm prepared to get into a car and drive myself from Austin, Texas, all the way to Florida. Just all we need is just a little help from the patrons out there. So Dills to Mania. Let's do this.
Here's my best comeback. This was totally out of left field. True story. I had fainted and was taken to the emergency room for dehydration. And in my stupor, right, as I'm getting pumped and rehydrated, I'm DMing with with your friend and mine, everybody's friend, Andrew Zarian of the Matt Men podcast. And he lets me know on the sly that The Undertaker at WrestleMania is going to be facing none other than Goldberg. Now, obviously, that did not happen.
No, it sure did not.
But it did make it all the more surprising when in 2 weeks later, we all heard, here comes the money, Shane McMahon. Back yes. into our lives and our hearts, just a gigantic a shock. I mean, that pop really is one of them for the record books. Now that story, maybe not the best, right? How he's been handled now, I think is far better. I don't need to see him every week. If you know, periodically, he wrestles. That's cool. I would like to see him not die in the ring.
I don't
like
want to see him die. This is for sure.
At Survivor Series.
I thought your story was going to go, I was you know, lying in a hospital bed, and I was groggy, and I didn't have my wits about me, so I stood up on my bed, and I tried to coast to coast to the other guy's
hospital
bed. I thought that's where you were going, but I'm glad that that's not, you know.
I did not. trailing a saline bag. I tried
this
to.
This is how I feel watching him do this stuff. I'm like, dude, do you think that now you should come back in your 50s? He's in his 50s, right? And late 40s, early 50s.
Shredded,
You think you should coast to coast into a Roman Reigns spear? That's exactly what we should do on a Survivor Series. But no, that's what he's doing. I'm all aboard this pick, man. Great one.
All right, here we go. Best the prefix name. And I gave you as an example of what I was talking about. There's been a lot of these in the WWE and wrestling this year.
It's
the man, the guy, the face that runs the place, the champ that runs the camp. What is your favorite the nickname? Shane, by the way, 46, we're being corrected.
So, yeah, so I really thought about this one hard. I'm a big fan of Jack Gallagher, the Extraordinary Gentleman. I'm a huge fan of that.
There we go.
But I had to go with, and this isn't one that's used very often, but it needs to be used more, and that is, of course, Bailey, the Doctor of Hugonomics. Gotta go with Bailey, the Doctor of Hugonomics.
Now,
it's
all right.
Too good.
I'm going to raise a little, a tiny objection flag. Has all she right. been referred to as the Doctor of Hugonomics on television once?
Maybe. She needs to be more often. I'm trying to make it a thing is what's going on here.
All right.
I'm trying to make it a thing in 2017. All right. Let's start calling her the Doctor of Hugonomics. All right.
I am going to go, and this is somebody that you are going to see a couple times on my favorite and best of list, is the Chinderella story.
The Chinderella story is pretty fantastic.
James Ellsworth. I mean, like, there is something so country fried about NXT and now SmackDown. Probably SmackDown now even more than NXT, where it is like it embraces some of the, like, dumber hee-haw kind of let's just make puns, like, you know, kind of element of wrestling, and I love it so much. Nothing was as good at doing this as James Ellsworth, and the Chinderella story is how I always hope to remember him.
That's pretty, yeah, that is pretty awesome. By the way, Mira Michi in the chat says Mauro Ranallo said the Doctor of Hugonomics at some point. So,
oh, okay.
Vindicated.
All right, here we go. Our next one is best debut. Dills, what do you got?
So this is another one where there were many good ones this year. A lot of really great ones. But Shinsuke in Dallas, where we knew he was coming. We had seen some packages. We knew it was happening. But that was the first time we saw the entrance and the whole thing with the music and the name in red and the wiggle motion as the violins kind of do their big, you know, downward cadence there. It was amazing, dude. It was friggin' awesome. So I got chills watching that entrance. Dallas went nuts. Shinsuke's debut was, I thought, fantastic and so well done, even though we knew it was coming. We were so hyped, and then we still got something new out of it by actually seeing the actual entrance in all its glory. So I'll never forget that one, man.
William, you ignorant slut. You didn't even get the right New Japan defector, because without a doubt, the best debut of 2016. Just imagine focusing on Roman Reigns' face no matter what. Never cut away from Roman. Never cut away from Roman.
The debut of a close-up of Roman Reigns.
The debut of the close-up of Roman Reigns. Confused. That theme starts playing. No, they don't want none. Ladies and gentlemen, AJ Styles at the Rumble. It was great for a lot of reasons. Number one, it immediately demonstrated that the WWE cared about signing AJ Styles. That
yeah.
he was somebody that they were going to take a little bit more seriously than somebody of his caliber in the past. Number two, It was a bit of a healing moment, I feel like, for wrestling fans and the Royal Rumble, because the year before had been the debacle.
The year before was a big bag of ass, yeah.
You know, with Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan getting eliminated so early. This was him debuting, him getting eliminated by Kevin Owens, which is, like, the only person who can eliminate him. Where it's like, okay.
It got a lot of heat for Owens, absolutely.
Great heat for Owens. That sets up Sami Zayn coming in for the first time in a WWE ring. I just thought it was indicative of what was to come in 2017. But
no, absolutely. Phenomenal moment in wrestling this year, for sure, is AJ's. You know, the funny thing, too, the pop he got, it was like everything about that was so good, and yet the camera work and the audio left a lot to be desired, because the pop didn't come across as good as it actually was. And then, of course, the close-up on Roman Reigns. But the fact that they could almost screw it up and still not ever screw it up, it means a lot, right? Well, I mean, like, there's no way you can actually screw it up. Because,
his theme does you no favors with that, though, right?
Well, the theme now is awesome. But at the moment, it was kind of like, okay, like, it's kind of, yeah, it starts slow. It's not very loud at the beginning. There's no glass breaking or guitar squealing.
No, yeah. It's not just him yelling like, I'm AJ Styles. Like, you know, that would have helped, I think, the pop.
I'm the champ that runs a camp. Yeah, no, it's, yeah, there's nothing like that, but you're right. No, I chose Shinsuke to leave you room to choose the one right answer here.
There we go. All right. Yeah. Best rest hold. Who rest held the best in 2016?
The best of the rest hold is obviously Kevin Owens, who earlier this year was in a rest hold, and I can't remember the wrestler, and I tried to find the actual clip, but he's literally holding the guy, and he's screaming at the crowd, I'm wearing him down!
Yeah.
It was amazing. It was the best, because you always hear this. The rest hold is the least effective hold in all of wrestling.
Yeah.
No one's ever tapped out to a rest hold in the history of professional wrestling, and you always hear the announcer, whoever it may be, say, this is great strategy, great strategy. He's wearing him down. And you hear that all the time. You know the truth as a wrestling fan. No, they're both resting.
Yeah, because they need,
but Kevin,
they need to get their win.
Addressing it was so good.
Here's all right. I had written down a snarky joke about Randy Orton. I'm not going to say it because I'm going to agree with you. It is Kevin Owens. However, I will differ on the rest hold. I believe it was at this last pay-per-view, Roadblock, End of the Line, when he had, again, Roman Reigns, as we played up top, Roman Reigns in the rest hold, yelling at him, if you're so tough, why didn't you put your title on the line?
Yeah, though, that was good, too. The other good, so Kevin Owens is like the master of this. You know they have like the top 10 moves of whatever?
Yeah.
I want a top 10 rest hold one-liners of Kevin Owens. Yeah.
Yeah.
But there was another where he went off, like he literally ran the ropes twice. The second one he hits, he slows down, puts him in a rest hold. So good. It's just golden. So Kevin Owens, the master of the rest hold.
Best promo of 2016, Willie?
I'm going to go with The Miz on Talking Smack when he called out Daniel Bryan, and then Daniel had to, like, looked visibly shaken, had to leave the room. The Miz didn't stop, didn't even take a breath, continued the promo, just redirected it at us. Right, moved right into the camera, eyes focused, and continued on through one of the most emotional and everything perfect about a promo happened in that promo. It was just, you know, everything, like, he was genuine, he was passionate, he was emotional, spit flying.
Yeah,
you know, it was great.
And legitimized Talking Smack as a show almost immediately, right?
That's, you know, right. All of a sudden, was that the first episode or was it the second? It was really early on.
It was very early on, but it immediately kind of made it most must watch television for a lot of wrestling
fans. You can't miss it. Yeah, because if stuff like that's going to happen, I'm sure as hell not going to miss it. Now, we've seen other great promos on Talking Smack since.
And, you know, I mentioned this on Aubrey Citizen's show, Straight Shoot, but it also kind of brought back this idea that, you know, let's do promos that are improv and not sketch comedy.
Sure.
Right.
Let's start with an idea and then just let it happen.
We'll just
go
from there. And listen, obviously they're talking points that they want to hit and they're working with each other. I don't think that it's a shoot, brother. But I do think that it's a little bit more compelling to watch because it looks like the gears are turning for them, you know, and
sure.
not in the way that they're trying to memorize something. We're going to go back to James Ellsworth for me. Any man with two hands has a fighting chance. This is a forgettable role that he over, you know, between his work ethic, like that line, which apparently he came up with, this was just like him setting, you know, giving himself a job, right? Because otherwise he's just, you know, down to the Wawa serving hoagies. And it begins what eventually credibly ends a 4.5-star match between AJ Styles and Dean Ambrose. It has to begin with us investing in him, you know, getting his ass kicked there. It also set up the great moment at the Survivor Series. Just a plus for James.
No, it was great. Like, who else do we remember who got squashed by Braun Strowman? We don't remember a single one. And even if they didn't bring back Ellsworth to do more stuff after that, we would have still remembered that guy, because that was like the only one. Like, they let them all do little promos. Like, hey, how you feeling? Are you scared? And they were all like, yeah, I'm scared and whatever.
Well, I just think in my hometown of Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, I'm going to really have a shot.
He really did something. So pretty Jimmy Dream becomes James Ellsworth. And it's amazing. He's great. Living the pretty Jimmy Dream right now, for sure.
He certainly is.
And it's all because of him. He did it.
And it also back to this kind of like country fried element of SmackDown, it just brings the fact that like it feels a little, all the wrestlers should look different. This should be kind of a freak show. There should be big tall guys. There should be kind of weird skinny guys. All different types can be a part of it.
Sure. Yeah. He is now the only wrestler in the past 4 decades who has actually grabbed Vince McMahon's brass ring, right?
Yes. Yes.
Someone finally did it.
I think it was on Jericho's podcast where he talked about Vince McMahon complimenting him coming back stage. And Jericho's like, that's nicer than Vince McMahon has ever said anything to me.
Yeah.
That is a nicer compliment than anything I've ever heard from him. All right. Best Bailey wacky waveable inflatable tube man.
All right, well, this one's easy. I mean, everyone knows the answer to this.
Yeah.
It's clearly the right side, the orange one, and specifically at NXT TakeOver Brooklyn, where it kind of half inflated and then like a, you know, like a balloon that you're about to make a balloon animal out of, it kind of straightened itself out. It was beautiful.
There we
Fantastic
go. You want to know what?
By the orange one.
I'm just going to co-sign on that one. Best friends. What do you got?
Best friends. I'm going to go the obvious. It's, you know, KO and Jericho, man. I mean, that's a friendship that I believe, Justin, will never end. All right? Mark my words. The day that friendship ends, I am going to be very disappointed. I will cry openly. I will sob into a towel if that friendship ever ends. And I don't believe it ever will. They might tease it, but in the end, you know, Codebreaker fixes everything. So it'll always come back around.
Can we really quick just appreciate and understand that Jericho has had like maybe the best year he's had in what, a decade?
Dude, I actually was going to put Jericho for best comeback, because not because he actually made a comeback this year, but because what he did this year is just so good that it almost feels like he's like back in top form, right? Or my ideas for best comeback were Goldberg, Jericho, and then I was like, well, maybe not just Jericho, maybe the list of Jericho, right?
Yeah.
Like, but I was feeling like a lot of things. He didn't actually have a comeback. It just feels like,
no. If anything, the
he's
weird
done so many
thing,
good things this year.
The weird thing was he didn't leave, because normally he's there for a bit. He leaves for a bit. He does like
he
works
going
house
tour,
shows,
come
and
back,
stuff like
couple
that.
Matches.
You know, just amazing year for him. And Kevin Owens, I mean, obviously, it shows you how deep this year was that, you know, he's not either of our best superstars, but he's had the biggest year of his career.
We should just say best friend is Jericho, because I forgot about Y2AJ.
Y2AJ had a shirt. Yeah. Why do AJ had a shirt?
Hey, apparently Chris Jericho is just a guy who just wants to be a friend, you know?
Yeah.
He's just looking for a buddy.
Here we go. Best friends. I'm going to go down to NXT. Peyton Royce and Billy Kay. I don't want to get into this because it's just going to be me sounding creepy. They make me feel things. They make me feel things that I'd be ashamed to admit on a wrestling podcast. There is just something about how mean they are and how they lingeringly hold each other's hands that is just money. Money in that banana stand. And that is a pun I am using deliberately. Best entrance, Willie.
Best entrance. Well, obviously, I already said my best new theme song was Glorious by Bobby Roode. I'm going Bobby Roode one more time. Specifically NXT Toronto. This was not his debut. This was when NXT decided to hire about 500 local musicians to help with their entrances. Bobby Roode comes out with a full choir and walks down the middle, stands, does the arms out, spins a couple times to an entire choir singing Glorious. It was amazing.
So you would go that over Brooklyn. Because Brooklyn was the first.
Well, Brooklyn,
big
he was
platform.
On the yeah, he was like on the crane and he gets slowly lowered. It was very impressive, but this I thought took it up just a notch. I was worried how they were going to follow that, and they did a great job by giving us the full choir. But yes, comparable for sure. Now, by the way, that was followed by Nakamura, who is
great with the single violinist. Let's just go with one violinist. More is not more with violinists. Let's just the one violinist. I think is the way to go.
I think so. It was a fantastic entrance. I think my problem was they put the ugly violinists down on the floor, and then they put the two hot violinists in the ring. And I was like, you know what? They're all beautiful in their own way.
Yeah, I know. I'm just glad that you could tell that they were actual violinists because they looked like actual human beings with actual human being mm-hmm. bone structure. I would have loved it if they were wrestlers. If they were
they were
just soundtrack it like they do with everything else.
Oh my god! By the way, Braun Strowman, best Rosebud of all time. If we can go back and say
Little Viking hat, him and his Viking hat, of course.
Just huge, this huge one Rosebud, just massive compared to all the others.
I mean, you can imagine how much Adderall he can mule. Okay, my best entrance. And there are few achievements in life, not forget wrestling, I mean life, wherein you can get in front of a sold-out Cowboy Stadium, the largest crowd in wrestling history, a gigantic box about a butthole joke. And that is exactly what the New Day did on WrestleMania. They debut this thing about booty-os. They make sure you're not booty. It's a butthole joke, folks. It's about buttholes. It's about that you're going to eat their buttholes. That's the joke, right? And then you get a gigantic box to tip over. And who's inside? Not a prize. Rather, your tag team champions wearing.
Your world tag team champions
wearing Dragon Ball Z Super Saiyan outfits. The entrance was better than the match. I always have to give a gigantic, gigantic nod to the New Day for getting a butthole joke in front of that many people.
They've gotten quite a few things across that I'm not sure creative knows what they're really doing, but we know.
Here we go. The best heel turn. Who turned your heel, Willie?
So I do have an honorable mention,
all right,
which is James Ellsworth knocking the ladder down, you know, because he's got AJ Styles' number. I mean, it was great. It was great. I loved it. I loved everything about it. It's fantastic. But by the way,
it's a good thing that that was only an honorable mention because he would be the clubhouse leader on our list with three mentions of three best of if you would have given him. Best heel turn.
He's killing it, dude. He's killing it. Like less than half a year, this man is killing it. So you know, gotta give him love. But I'm going with the Usos, because they revitalized themselves completely to me. Even though it might not have gone since their heel turn the right direct, like the way maybe we all wanted it to go, where they were then fighting for tag team gold. That's fine. Every time they come out, I'm happy to see them now. And that was not the case before the heel turn. So the Usos did what I think a lot of wrestlers kind of refuse to do, which is embrace a heel turn, do it the right way. And their heel work has been amazing. So, you know, I just got to give them props on that, because I've seen a lot of wrestlers just kind of refuse to do it. And the Usos did it, I think, at a really good time. And yeah, I loved it. I loved it. I loved everything they've done since.
Yeah, no, great. I love their new aesthetic of people that you want to change BART cars because they are sitting
people
in
you cross
yours.
The street when you see them coming.
I would
towards
like
you.
To
yeah.
not be in the same BART car as the Usos. I'm gonna say, listen, late breaking edition. But I don't know. Aside from AJ Styles, who I think was kind of muddled because, because. You kind of wanted for him to be a face. He was so good as a face. So the idea mm-hmm. that he was turning heel, you had to do it. But I don't know if that moment was perfect. Is Neville? Neville yeah. just completely reset his career with his heel work. Man, he just he makes himself look uglier. Like, he went from this, like, kid-friendly thing to this weird Lord of the Rings, creature. The way he wrestles is different. I cannot say enough about how much I am in love with what Neville is doing right now.
By the way, it's funny because you could definitely say, like, AJ Styles turning heel. You could say, like, there was some other big heel turns, like, besides the Usos and, like, Neville. And Elworth, you could say, like, Orton returned heel. There yeah. was, you know, some whatevers. But really this year, there wasn't that many turns, period, in either direction.
Yeah.
There were, like, a few big ones, but a lot of guys who started the year as faces have ended the year as faces. A lot of guys who started the year as heels have ended the year as heels. So, you know, it was tough to actually find ones that had huger impacts than the ones that we've mentioned. Like, they were really significant moments because we weren't seeing a lot of them.
Certainly.
And
so.
Usually I'm used to seeing it happen all the time, right? You see, like, Big Show turns heel five times a year. But
by the way, do you know that, like, in all these dirt sheets, I think it was Meltzer that reported it today, that of the matches that they believe are set up for WrestleMania, one of them that is set in stone is Big Show versus Shaq.
I did see that, and I don't understand. I'm going to let it happen. You know, I'm going to sit back. I'm going to let this happen.
I mean, it's going to last about 5 minutes, right?
On Big Show's Twitter, he's getting back into shape. He looks great. But Shaq? Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Shaq's big return.
Shaq's back,
now,
baby.
Who's going to be heel in that match, by the way?
I wonder if he still lives in Orlando.
Probably.
Yeah. Maybe that's part of it. All right. Best outfit. You've gone off the WWE reservation for this one.
That's right. I'm going with my man. My favorite wrestler currently is Dalton Castle. Dalton Castle, everything about him is my favorite. And he comes out with his boys, and he's got his jumpsuit on. Silver, shiny, glistening. It's amazing. But the real moment, and whenever I show this to people, the real moment that makes his outfit the greatest of 2016 is when he raises the wings.
Yeah.
You see it in all its glory, the peacock.
The full plumage.
In the middle of that ring. And then, of course, his boys have to strip it off of him. It's a very detailed process. He comes out of it. He runs the ropes a little bit. It's great. Everything about him is great. If you don't know Dalton Castle, go check him out, Ring of Honor. But he is my favorite wrestler. So we call Dillionaires, which are subs to my channel.
Yeah.
We call them Dillionaires. And if there is a large group of Dillionaires in one place, that is, of course, a Dalton of Dillionaires.
A Dalton of Dillionaires. And they indeed are your boys.
They are my boys.
Dalton Castle and the duo of Peyton Rice and Billy Kay just giving me such joy in my appreciation of homoerotic excitement in wrestling. I love both of them for all that. Okay. I wrote down here Nakamura. I'm going to change it.
Yeah?
You're gonna
make an audible. A last second audible, huh?
You wanna know why?
Why?
I'm not gonna give you one reason why. I'm not gonna give you two. I'm not gonna give you three, four, five, six, or seven. I'm not gonna give you eight. I'm not gonna give you nine. Willie Dills Gregory, I'm gonna give you 10.
Oh my goodness.
10 reasons why the best outfit is Ty Dillinger. He just looks deceptively weird.
It looks ridiculous.
He looks insanely stupid.
Good because of how bad it is. What is the deal with the friggin' collar? Like the collar? What is going on?
Like the cornrows. The fact that he's got like the lines shaved in to his eyebrow, like a middle school drug dealer,
like a Vanilla Ice wannabe. Yeah.
Oh my god! And the first time I saw him do the 10 gimmick, it was literally a piece of printer paper put in a little transparency that you would get. I can almost tell you that it was either fully laminated or it was like it actually had the three holes on the side of it. Like he had just bought it from like Office Depot.
He went to like a local car repair shop.
Oh.
And said, I need the paper out of your like 80s receipt printer.
It was
it's like the only place you can still find that stuff.
So good. He's had a hell of a year. And you want to know what? It's going to be up to him. Carry NXT when they move up Nakamura and Joe. Joe's another one.
Laterally,
had a great
yes.
year.
By the way, Mitsula, our good buddy Mitsula, went to an NXT show, I guess in Vegas. And he texted me from there and he was like, dude, Ty Dillinger is over as hell.
Oh, yeah.
When he comes out, the place goes nuts. So,
well, I mean,
it's crazy. The NXT finds a way to get anybody over. Like Ty Dillinger was struggling. He was barely above water for so long, right?
Well, I mean, remember the tag team that got a run
Jason
in NXT
Jordan.
Was
yeah.
Jason Jordan and Ty Dillinger. They couldn't make any kind of mark. Now one of them's half of the tag team champions on SmackDown, and the other was so over that Toronto counted 10 whenever any number was counted the entire 4 days of taping that they did. So
yeah, it's pretty incredible, man.
Just great job. All right, best gimmick. What was your favorite gimmick?
My favorite gimmick of this year, I'm you know, like there's lots of good ones. We've had some interesting ones. When wrestling kind of went towards, we're just going to call these guys by their name and there's not really going to be gimmicks. That was a little concerning to me because I like the gimmick. I'm a fan of the gimmick. But now we've gotten a way to kind of have a gimmick tied to a name, right? So for me, Heath Slater, his gimmick is that he has kids. It's so good. And it's so dumb.
Yeah.
But the way that he is just like committed to this, the bit where he had all the kids out in the ring was, you know, if I could use a buzzword from 2016, it's of course cringeworthy. And it kind of was, but it came across as how that would go if you brought out all your kids into a wrestling ring and just talked about how you have a lot of kids. It was hilarious. I love it. His shirt, I have kids.
Just great.
I mean, I just kind of want that shirt. I don't have kids, but I want a shirt that says I have kids. And that's because that gimmick is awesome.
I will say that as much as I've loved SmackDown, and I've loved SmackDown, that little pre-tape of them at Slater's Double Wide was maybe the first time that I was like, all right. Is the joke here that rednecks are dumb? Like, are we just doing rednecks are dumb and they're stupid like stuff? So I don't know. I was not in love with that. I love Heath Slater. He's another one who's had a great.
Yeah. Look, I get it. It's not for everybody. But when a guy comes out and I actually laugh out loud at what they're doing, that's wrestling at its finest to me. And he made me laugh out loud several times with a throwaway character, essentially, for so long.
Especially
and
we
couldn't find a place to put him, you know?
By the way, something that quietly went away, but I haven't seen talked a lot about, Titantrons.
Yeah.
They got that new stage where it's all just graphic stuff, and they get to do cool stuff. Like, Heath Slater comes out, and he's literally in an above-ground pool. When you look down, you see little inflatable tubes and everything, and it has, like, that above-ground pool look. But I guess on other screens they'll play Titantrons, but for the main presentation, it's just not there anymore.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's they just didn't really mention it, but it just slowly happened. But what they've been able to do with it is incredible. So screw it. I'm all for it, man. Let those other promotions have their Titantrons, right?
Exactly.
Everyone does that now.
My favorite gimmick is Charlotte Flair's elder abuse. I love it. However many times they can bring. Here's the best part about her punching her father. Number one, she did it once to the point where the cops had to get called for real before she was in WWE. Number two, Ric Flair is such an emotional man.
He is.
That, like, you just know that it really hurts him. Like, he just brings a piece of himself to every element of it. And the harder she hits him, the more you know that in Ric Flair's mind, he's like, I don't know, wait. Like, is this because I missed your fourth birthday? Like,
yeah, like is this really happening? Is this real? I'll say this. The WWE and wrestling in general does have this tendency to just hold no punches when it comes to utilizing real life tragedy in their performances, right? I mean, we saw recently a Dusty Rhodes little bear get his head ripped off, and Cody Rhodes took Twitter to express how he did not enjoy that at all.
No. I think the tweet was, I hope that the producer that does that never has to feel what that feels like. And
yeah.
And by the way, Bullet Club on Bullet Club crime. You know, it was Gallows and Anderson ripping the head off the Dusty Bear.
The newest Bullet Club member. Yeah.
Cody Rhodes. I mean, what do you do? You get a little
maybe
internal
courier?
Maybe
that's like jumping him into the gang, right? You gotta exploit a family tragedy on the way in.
Here we go. Best tag team.
This one's easy for me, man. Look, there's been a lot of great tag team work this year, but the Revival has by far been, they put on just the best matches, right? I mean, it's hard to find another tag team that, and with them, it doesn't even matter what they do outside of the ring. Doesn't matter how good they are on the mic. None of that matters to me. What matters is 40 minutes or whatever of insane action, culminating in great finishes and just some of the best work that I've seen in a long time. Also, Scott Dawson's Disgusting Bulge, which could be a tag team. Scott Dawson and his Disgusting Bulge could be a tag team on their own.
On their own.
But they bring in Dash Wilder just to make it even. It's like the New Day, right? They got their third member, which is Dash Wilder.
Jesus Christ. All right, hey, gun to your head. Do we see them at the NXT show in San Antonio, or do we see them at the Royal Rumble?
If we see him at the Royal Rumble, it's a pre-show. I think we still see him in NXT. I think we start to see them move their way into the main roster post WrestleMania.
Yeah,
I think we get a big debut the day after WrestleMania, and then they just
you think they're going to keep him in NXT until WrestleMania?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't
think... the day after on that Monday Night Raw, you got to have some big moments, and I think the Revival showing up on Raw can be a pretty big one. So
yeah, I don't know. I got a feeling that we're going to see.
I mean,
them.
It's a long time, I know, but
I got a feeling we're going to see them sooner rather than later. I'm going to say, hey, look, it's a new day. Yes, it is. Obviously, they were coming into this year with a lot of momentum. They broke the record. I do think that them breaking the record kind of stagnated things a little bit, but I'm not ready to be done recognizing how much those guys getting to play those characters and to do what they want brings a freewheeling energy, not only to WWE, not only to Raw, but to wrestling itself. And, you know, let's understand all that and then also say it's really, really cool that black guys can do what they want. Like,
yeah,
let's also point out
the fact that they started off this year just hot as hell. And I think what kind of happened as they continued to hold the titles was we started to see the promos become, here's a repeat of our greatest hits.
Yeah.
And not what they were doing for so long, which was a new thing each week. It was like every single week it felt like a brand new inside joke was being added to the New Day's arsenal.
Yeah.
And towards the end, you started to see a much shorter thing. Okay, you know, he talks for a second, then he plays the trombone, and then New Day rocks, and then, okay, we're done. I want to see them go back to that kind of freewheeling, it feels like it's all kind of made up on the spot type of stuff. So hopefully that's what losing the titles allows them to do is just get back to that, because that was amazing. Or we see them have an amazing breakup feud and stuff. Whatever. They're all great. Their careers are much further along now because of the work that they've done. So, hell yeah. I'm on board. New Day.
All right. The best...
We're almost there, Justin.
Best pay-per-view of the year.
Now, there's been a lot of good ones. There's been a whole bunch of good ones this year. And it was tough for me, so I kind of went off the beaten path. I'm going to pull up Survivor Series from this year.
Okay.
I just thought there was a lot of great moments in this year's Survivor Series. And Survivor Series 2 can often seem kind of like we're just trying to figure out who can fight each other and what these teams can be. And it's like sometimes it just feels like it's thrown together and they're just trying to figure out how to make it work. But this year with the brand split, I thought it all just felt very good, very natural. And, of course, Brock Lesnar-Goldberg was main eventing, so that was amazing. And then, of course, we also saw Shane O'Mac basically murder himself in one of the greatest spots I've seen in a long time. After, not only did he do that, but he also had a freaking off-the-top ropes onto an announce table spot, like in the same match. So that was, to me, one of the greatest matches I can remember in a pay-per-view. Just that one Survivor Series Raw versus SmackDown match. That would have been enough almost for me to put this one over. But then, of course, you had all the other stuff going into. So it was great. It was fantastic.
I'm going to go a little off the beaten path. Battleground from this year.
Nice.
Now, you might say, man, what happened to Battleground? Whatever, it's Battleground. Let me read this card to you. Pre-show, Breezango takes down the Usos. Opener, Sasha Banks and a debuting Bayley defeating Charlotte and Dana Brooke by submission. The Wyatt family beat the New Day. Rusev defeated Zack Ryder by submission. Sami Zayn maybe had one of his two best matches of the year against Kevin Owens in the blow-off to their feud.
It was kind of the end of that feud, which is, of course, 15 years in the making, whatever. But
Natalya defeats Becky Lynch. The Miz beats Darren Young. John Cena and Enzo and Cass defeated the club, a united club. And here's the big thing. It's the only time we've ever seen it. Dean Ambrose, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, the match we thought we would not see until WrestleMania happened at Battleground. And I thought
happened
it was great.
Happened at Battleground. Yeah.
I thought it was great.
You know what's funny about that? So that match that people have been clamoring for since the Shield breaks up happens at Battleground, and instead of being happy about seeing the match, they're pissed that it happened at Battleground, right? And it's like, dude, it was amazing. By the way, here's another crazy stat from that one. The Sami Zayn-Kevin Owens match was longer than that match, the Dean Ambrose-Roman Reigns-Seth Rollins match.
Yeah.
By only like 10 seconds or something, but still. Kind of funny stuff. But, dude, I'm with you, man. That was an amazing one. I love that pay-per-view. And I love the fact that it took the throwaway pay-per-view and made it not so throwaway, right?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, well, here. I actually have to I need you to monologue here for a second. Give us your best superstar of the year.
All right, so if we're going to talk about the best superstar of the year, and I can't wait to see Justin's best superstar of the year, but the best superstar of the year is, to me, pretty obvious. And I don't think a lot of people are going to disagree that the best superstar of the year was AJ Styles. And AJ Styles just had an incredible year. We had all these people coming from other promotions, right? We had all these people coming from Japan, the Ring of Honor, all these other different promotions. And I think the name that everybody was wondering whether he would ever come, whether he'd ever make it, he's getting a little bit older. I think he's, 39 years old now or something like that. We had a feeling that it could happen, but we weren't sure. And, of course, AJ then makes his debut at the Royal Rumble. And it's amazing. He comes out. He has a fantastic Rumble. He doesn't win, obviously. And I think some people wanted him to be able to win the Rumble as soon as he comes. That, I think, would have been a little ridiculous. But, of course, we get him. We get Doc Gallows, Carl Anderson. And to me, it was just it was an incredible like that happening kind of put the cap on what WWE was doing, right? Which was let's get all the best guys from everywhere and let's all bring them in. Now, of course, that wouldn't be just that would have been enough, I think, on its own to have him come in. And I could have seen him do, you know, a year of matches just kind of on the peripheral of the title scene. I could have seen that happen and I would not have been disappointed. But for him to go from debuting to facing some of the biggest names, you know, the John Cena set was amazing. Like just the set of matches that they had was amazing. But for him to then go from that to entering the title scene to being the champion and to now being, I think, my favorite current, like my favorite championship run I've seen in a really long time. He looks strong, and yet he looks like a heel. It's awesome. Like he comes away from these title defenses looking like the best wrestler on the roster. And he is. He is the best wrestler on the roster. So he's coming across looking exactly like the guy he is. And he's also a fantastic heel, too, on top of it. It's just everything he's done has been gold. I have not seen a single thing where I've been like, eh, you know, whatever. It was kind of him just getting out there and doing a thing. He's just been insane. Everything he's touched has been gold. So
here's the best compliment you can give to AJ Styles. How many other superstars had their best match of the year with AJ Styles? Because offhand...
Yeah, like everybody. Yeah.
Chris Jericho, Roman Reigns. All of his Roman Reigns matches were great.
No, they were. They're fantastic.
Dean Ambrose.
John Cena.
Like, this is the who's who. He made all of them better. And... it gave you a little hope that maybe we can get that with Nakamura, right?
Like,
maybe that bridge too far. The guy, the Japanese guy who doesn't necessarily speak English all that well. Like, AJ's promos have gotten better, but he's not the best promo in the business, right?
No, but he doesn't need to be. He's not terrible.
And that's the point. The point is he doesn't need to be. So, AJ Styles, I can't argue with that.
By the way, you brought up Nakamura. I think we're all really hoping that Nakamura Styles happens in 2017 and somehow finds a way to top what they did in Japan. Because what they did in Japan is just absolutely incredible. If you never watched their matches in Japan, like do yourself a favor and just YouTube that because it's incredible. And if they can like find a way to match and then surpass that.
And by the way, this year, they were the match at Wrestle Kingdom, right?
Yeah, that's right.
It was this year. They both headlined one of the headliners for Wrestle Kingdom, and then one of them was in WrestleMania.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Royal Rumble and WrestleMania. Just an insane year. However, it's just a
magical year for him. But I'm excited to hear yours because I'll be honest. I haven't been as on top of this as I wanted to, but I've been like slowly catching back up, and I gotta say, it's kind of insane.
This is just a general thing for me. Whenever you are doing things by degrees, the way that you can mathematically say one great thing is just a hair better than another great thing is to take the degree of difficulty and divide that by execution. What AJ Styles did is nothing short of heroic. He went from a great organization in New Japan, doing his greatest work in his prime, went to a better, bigger company just by the size of it, and continued to translate his brand. That's very, very hard to do. However, nobody had a greater degree of difficulty this or any other year than making people give a shit about TNA wrestling. And that was done successfully this year by the broken brilliance of Matt Hardy. I have a premonition that this year the best wrestler in the world speaks with an accent that might be all other accents combined. I have
it doesn't even make sense what his accent is. I don't know what it is.
Delightful. It is an extraordinary xylophone that should play the triumphant sounds of broken Matt Hardy. I mean, what the hot hell? This man has not only continued to make himself one of the biggest, hottest stars. I mean, talk about all the pops that you're going to see at WrestleMania. If Matt Hardy debuted at WrestleMania, he might get the biggest one. You know, you might hear the loudest chant for Delete in any arena, right? He just has a vision of what the future of wrestling is. And I don't think that that is something that is easy to come by. Because, by the way, a lot of promoters, in fact, a lot of promoters that work for TNA have a lot of ideas on what wrestling should be. Nobody, I think, has a clearer vision than Matt Hardy. And that's, I mean, the final deletion, deleter decay, total nonstop deletion. I'm excited to see what they do at the end of the year here. It has done something for not only that promotion, but his career that I didn't think was possible. And single-handedly, a revived backyard wrestling. Turns out when you have drones and digital cameras, you can make backyard wrestling a lot more interesting than you could in the 90s. It is just something. And listen, Misty May fan, you're right. The character's there, but the matches have all sucked. Well, number one, all the biggest matches that you've seen have all been edited. They're movies. They're not even really matches. But, you know, trying to carve out a niche in this industry, I think, is one of the hardest things to do. Especially to do it almost with your parent company fighting against you at every step of the way. And he has just done such a fantastic job with it. He is my number one for 2016. The broken brilliance of Matt Hardy. All other suitors to this crown will be deleted. Oh, one note about this. I'm going to go to full screen on me real quick. If you are doing the delete chant, like Disney, two fingers, two or one fingers pointing out, because if you're doing the full hand, it's really close to a Sieg Heil, right? Like just a finger. Come on, help yourself out here. All right, you want
to
know?
By the way, the funniest thing to me about that whole thing too is how it's changed Jeff Hardy as well. Like, he's not even Jeff Hardy anymore. Like, this gimmick is spilling over into everybody else.
Oh, have you seen the new Jeff Hardy? Have you seen Itchweed?
No, I have not.
Oh, then everybody, homework.
I know my brother Nero.
Oh no. Go watch the Total Nonstop Deletion. He has a new character. It's called Itchweed. You need to take it under advisement. Okay. All right, we have one final bit. We're already long, but let's go ahead and read our email. For this week, go ahead and email us in, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Put 1-900-WRESTLING in the subject line. Andrew writes, part of the Bray Wyatt gimmick implies magical powers, powers we must always, almost never see him use. I think the implications of this idea are fascinating. Imagine a storyline where the Wyatts start to brainwash everybody into the family, and this ragtag group of survivors has to fight back. Aside from the fact that his Mac-ness would never let it get off the... Vince McMahon would never let it get off the ground. Or as Matt Hardy calls him, Vince McMahon! Do you think that the WWE could pull off a company-wide narrative, and would the fans go for it?
So, when he first came in to... Because when he first started on NXT as Bray Wyatt, his character to me didn't come across as somebody with magical powers. His character to me came across as essentially a charismatic cult-leading serial killer, right? Yeah. And at some point, they started, the lights would go out, and then the creepy dolls and the fireflies, Maggle, and all that stuff started to happen. And I guess it did come across that he had mystical powers of some sort. But more than this type of thing with the brainwashing, I really wanted to see him like delve into this serial killer persona. And I understand that that definitely might be a little rough for some people to essentially watch one of the wrestlers murdering other wrestlers. But Maybe not just murdering
counterpoint,
kidnapping
them
for nefarious purposes that we never find to, you know, nobody makes obvious. But I mean, for a while, he was literally wearing like a butcher's smock, you know?
Yeah. I mean, hey, listen, counterpoint. How many people did we see The Undertaker kill or kidnap?
Oh, dude, right? Absolutely. Like, The Undertaker's literally like an undead monster. So, you know. But yeah, like, it would never go as far as like body parts in a fridge or anything like that.
Yeah.
But I would love to see what they kind of did with Daniel Bryan, but take it to like another step where they're literally just kidnapping. You don't know where they went. They're gone.
Yeah.
We don't see them for a while. They come back brainwashed by Bray Wyatt family members. Right. So, yeah, I don't know. I kind of always wanted to see that happen. I think it would work. I think it would work. You just have to kind of be a little careful and don't go over the top on it.
Here's what I do think that they need to do with Bray Wyatt, and I want to steer away from the fantasy booking a little bit, but like I as a fan want to see him break the machine. I want to see him be the populist hillbilly hero. I think the crowd wants it. I know I want it. I was excited to see when he was interested in championship gold. That was exciting to me. Here's the gift of the year for me. Is Bray Wyatt in that one random post-WrestleMania Raw where Bray was, or the Wyatt family were faces for 5 seconds and Roman Reigns was the guy and they had to team together and Bray Wyatt was able to keep on top of his pin as he just, without looking, directed Roman Reigns to just missile spear somebody who was trying to come to break up the tag. That's what I think. You need to get that, then turn him evil again, because he's always going to want to be evil. He's an evil character.
Sure,
but you gotta get us a little, we'll test there.
No, I love the idea of him becoming champion of something, and then using that title to take the machine down from the inside. There's so many good ways you can go with him. So to be honest, like I think a lot of people are slightly disappointed in the fact that he hasn't really challenged for anything in so long. And they wanted to see more out of him. But I honestly, I want to say this to people. He might not be a guy who wins a lot of titles a la Kane.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't need a title to be interesting. Right. And I think that's something a lot of people maybe don't notice about him. It's like, because a lot of people just get hung up on the titles. Has he won titles? What has he done? Is he accomplished? Well, he's a great character.
Yeah.
Who can do great things. With just his character and with nothing else.
I don't think he has to win titles. I think he's got to be interested in titles at times.
Sure, yeah. He wants, the chase and the exactly. Chase. I could see that, yeah.
I think that's pretty much the only thing.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
All right, so how do we want to do this bit? I love this bit here. We have the amazing and awesome Trey Warren sent us 14 unlabeled melodica themes. So if you're not familiar with the melodica, it is a very interesting instrument that's kind of a cross between a harmonica and a accordion, right?
Yeah, it's you blow into it and you play piano.
Yeah.
It's great. They're actually pretty cheap, too. I think they're like, you can get more like $50 or something like that.
So here's what I want. I mean, do we want...
Take them home with these, you know, just like
here's my question. Do we want to guess or do we want to give answers, or is this just a puzzle for everybody listening?
We should just play it. Show's over.
That's
send
it.
Your emails in next week. We'll confirm which wrestler's theme this was.
Okay. So just to give you a sense, we played this one in the pre-show, but this is an example. This is not the quiz for this week. This is an example of what you're going to get. Willie, do you know what that is?
Oh, my God. It's on the tip of my tongue. Oh, man. From the first part, I thought I had it, and now I don't think I do. Because I was getting an Undertaker vibe.
It was. Felt a little Undertaker. I can confirm it's not the Undertaker.
Yeah, I know, because the second part played, and I realized, no, that is not. That is definitely not. So, I have no idea.
That is the bizarre one.
Oh, Goldust. Okay.
Goldust. All right, so this is for real. We're going to play this, then we're going to get our plugs, and we're going to get the hell out of here. We've already gone long on this special edition of 1-900 Wrestling. Here we go. This is your Trey Warren melodica theme for this week's episode. Send us your guesses on this at reply Justin R. Young on Twitter.
Wow.
Or Willie Dills on Twitter, right?
I'm at Willie Dills, correct.
At Willie Dills, if you want to guess what this was. Anything else that you want to get out there, Willie?
Just plug my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/WillieDillsSF. We are on the road to 500 subs basically all the time. We're at like 430 something, so come on in if you're a Twitch Prime user and you don't know where to use your sub. Well, my channel is a great place. You get to put a glorious emote into the chat whenever you want. So check it out if you like Hearthstone or you just like video games and hanging with cool people in general. Twitch.tv/WillieDillsSF.
One of the best in the biz. Also, go ahead and follow me on Twitch. Twitch.tv/JustinRYoung. That's where we stream this very show, along with 5 days a week now of talk show and IRL content. Now that Twitch loosened the Roman Reigns and allowed folks to do whatever they want on their platform, for which I am very grateful. You can follow me on Snapchat, JustinRYoung. Any final words on 2016, Willie?
It was a fantastic year in wrestling and a shit year everywhere else. But hey, I'll take it, man. If we look back on 2016, I'll remember the wrestling. So I hope you guys do too.
Until 2017, folks, this is Justin and Willie. We'll see you next week.
I want you to call me World of Wrestling's latest news and views. I've been around in wrestling for 35 years, and nobody knows wrestling like me. Remember the number
1-900 Wrestling.
Stupid idiots.
They call me Hara.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
And his name is John Cena.
Well, look at this prima donna.
Thank God Donald Trump's a whole idiot.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.